Well, I'll tell you, there's been an extraordinary presence of God in this place tonight. Glory to God. Started with the worship. Woo! Went right on through Pastor Belinda. Glory to God. And I believe he's got the icing on the cake for us tonight. Amen. Glory to God. Ha, 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 ha. Woo! Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't leave us orphans. You didn't leave us alone down here, but you provided all things that we need for life and godliness, Father. And I thank you. I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for it. Father, we purpose to learn to activate what you provided for us. We learn to appropriate and to put into effect all that you provided for us so that we can make your covenant known to the world. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Was that the Lagardes video, Belinda? Oh, yeah, I thought so. That was our missionaries in Kenya. I mean, it wasn't our missionaries, but it was somebody that off of one of their videos, somebody they had ministered to and trained in the things of God. That's awesome. Woohoo! Love it, love it, love it. All right. Pastor sitting in on the youth tonight. And so we're going to persevere and go on right on without him. But we've been talking for several months now about your authority as a believer. And a few weeks ago, we read in Mark chapter 11, and that's where I want to start tonight. Mark 11, 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, I tell you, we could read it again and do a lap. But there's some things in here I want you to see. I want you to notice how many times he said to say it. He said, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, why does faith have to be exercised out loud? You ever wondered that? Why do we have to confess the word? Why do we have to say what we believe? Why do we have to open our mouth and speak out loud what God has said is ours in order to obtain it? I tell you, there's some confusion about that, but I want to clear it up tonight. Are we doing that so that other people will hear us? No, I assure you, we're not. Matthew 6:5 out of the King James, this is Jesus speaking. Matthew 6:5, he said, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to stand praying in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. What is their reward? Being seen by the men. I know they're thinking, you know, hopefully if everybody sees me praying up here, they're going to think I'm really spiritual and they're going to think good of me. And God, and Jesus said, if you do it in front of men to be seen by them, then their adoration or their opinion of you is all the reward you're going to get. I don't know about you, but I don't want the accolades of men. I want my answer. I want what I'm praying for to be brought to pass. So whether anybody hears or knows or not is irrelevant because we're not doing it for them, so that we know that's not it. But he goes on to tell us how to do it. Verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So Jesus makes it clear that faith is to be exercised out loud, but not for the benefit of other people. In fact, you can say it out loud to him and to him alone, and that's good enough. How many, are you with me? Sometimes people think, you know, I need to get a megaphone and I need to go on the corner. Or I need to, you know, if nobody hears me, then why am I even saying it? Because, glory to God, it doesn't have to do with people. If nobody knows what you prayed, that's awesome. But why do we have to speak it out loud? I've heard people say, I don't think I have to speak it, to speak up and say out loud what I believe. The Lord knows my heart. He knows I believe. How many of you know he does know your heart? And he knows you do believe. But it's not for his sake, you're saying it anyway. Are you with me? It is. You're not doing it for him. You're not saying it for his benefit. We're not just saying something over and over and over again to God and hoping he'll see our faith through our many words. Maybe if I say it enough times, he'll see how serious I am and he'll actually do it. That is not why we have to say out of our mouth. In fact, he goes on in this this portion of scripture to address that. Verse 7. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. How many of you know your much speaking doesn't get you heard at all? Are you hearing me? We're not trying to say it enough to get God to do it. We're not trying to say it enough to get God to hear us. No, he heard us the very first time we said it. The very first time we prayed. So why are we speaking out our faith? Because you are a speaking spirit like your Father before you. With creative power in your words. You are a son or a daughter of the Most High God. With dominion and authority in this earth. And when you speak what he has spoken, you are giving a command of faith, speaking to the very molecules of this earth which need to move and bring to pass what Father's will is. Bring to pass what he said you could have in this world. When you speak and make a confession of faith, you are declaring and decreeing a thing and speaking into existence here what does not currently exist. You are speaking it into this natural realm. You, a son and a daughter of the Most High God. You, a speaking spirit with authority in the earth. You are speaking into the natural. You're speaking supernatural into the natural. And the natural has to move. You're not doing it for anybody else's sake. You're not even doing it for God's sake. You're speaking it into this realm. It's the things of the kingdom of God are voice activated. Sometimes, you know, I tell my phone what to do. You know, I hit that little button, you know, and she says something. What can I do for you? I don't know what she says. But I said something and she didn't understand me. And then I just went silent and she said, I'm sorry, I don't understand. That's because I didn't say anything. How many of you know, you ever caught up one of those company and get caught in their loop? You know what I'm saying? They ask you to say something, I'm sorry. I'm going to send you back. I'm like, don't send me back, don't send me back. Or they respond to the TV in the background. You ever did that? It was sending me all over the world based upon what was on the TV. The things of the kingdom of God are voice activated. You are a speaking spirit with authority and dominion in the earth. We talked last week about how when you got born again, you changed kingdoms back. You're now back under the kingdom and the authority and the jurisdiction of heaven. And your Father's will is enforced in this earth through you. It is voice activated. The things of the kingdom are voice activated. It's the example our Father gave us. He, Father God, speaks into existence that which currently does not exist. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. I want you to notice that God had decided beforehand what he wanted to do. And his Spirit was brooding over the waters, but his will was already known. He knew in his own mind what he was about to speak and what he wanted to be. But did the knowing of his will make it so? No, not until he spoke it. He's hovering over the face of the waters. He knows the plan that's about to unfold, but it hasn't happened yet. Why? Because he hasn't spoken yet. Well, if it's just the will of God, it'll happen. Did it? It didn't happen until verse 3. And God said, do you understand in between verse 2 and 3, his will didn't change. His will was already there, but nothing changed. He stood there with the gross darkness and confusion, the terrible nothingness in front of him. It existed. It was there, but it didn't move until he spoke out loud. God said, let there be light. And there was light. Glory to God. His command and declaration of faith that he made out loud. He made it out loud. He said, let there be light. And when that decree was spoken out loud, the earth jumped to obey him, and bang, light became. You know, all the time people argue about the Big Bang Theory, you know. Do you believe in the Big Bang Theory? I believe in the Big Bang Theory. God said, and bang, there it was. Bang, it became. That's the kind of Big Bang Theory I believe in. I want you to notice he didn't just stand there over the dark saying, dadgum. It's dark. Wow, wish this wasn't this dark and all confused like this. This is terrible. I want you to notice he didn't say, now darkness, stop it. No, he spoke into existence what needed to be. Are you with me? And when he did, when his words were spoken in faith, it became. I had to laugh at myself the other day. There was a situation going on. Pastor Mark said, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. I really don't know what to do. I mean, really, I just don't know what to do. Gosh, I've got to know, but right now I'm just going to be honest. I don't know what to do. And then we both just looked at each other and just busted out laughing because my faith was working really good. I had talked myself into being in faith for not knowing what to do, and it was working really good. And I mean, we teach this stuff, and then we got to live by it. You understand? Listen, you speak what you need to be. It currently isn't in here, but I know. I have a knowing. I have an unction from the Holy One, and I know all things. I am a child of God led by the Spirit of God. I thank you, Father, you are such a good communicator. I would have to intentionally disobey you to miss it. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I know what to do by the unction of the Holy One on the inside of me. You say what you need. Command it to be. God said, let there be light. And there was light. Verse 4. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Verse 5. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. I want you to notice he's saying what he wants to exist. He said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Verse 7. And God made the firmament and divided. How did he make it? He spoke it. And divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. Verse 8. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let dry land appear. And it was so. I just want you to see, our Father showed us how the earth operates. He showed us how to change things in this earth that need changed. Well, Pastor Rhonda, he's God. Yes, and you are his son and his daughter, created in the image and the likeness of him. Can a son or a daughter operate the same way the Father did, with the same authority that Father God did? Of course, let's look at Jesus. He was the first Son of God in human form. Let's look at how he operated. Did he speak the will of the Father and things happen? We know it did. Mark 11, 13. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, what? Said unto what? He talked to a tree. He spoke into this natural realm what needed to be from the supernatural realm. And his words came out of his mouth and made it so. And Jesus answered and said unto it, the tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. He spoke out loud what he wanted to happen. And he must have said it loud enough that the disciples heard him, but he didn't say it for their benefit. He was talking to the tree and the molecules in it. He spoke the will of God and decreed it into this natural realm. And what happened? Verse 19. And when evening was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree withered and dried up from its roots. The same tree he said out loud, no man will eat fruit of you hereafter forever. He spoke what he wanted. His words went to the molecules in the roots and in the core of that tree. And while it didn't look like anything was happening on the outside, his words went to the root of the problem and began to disintegrate and began to disrupt what was, so that what he said would be. What is my point? When you speak, you may not always see instantaneous results. When you make your decree and declaration of faith, But if you're enforcing the will of your Father and you've spoken at His command, your words go to the root of the situation and begin affecting it at its core. It goes to the root of someone's heart. He begins to change things. Molecules change. Nature changes. When you speak a command of faith from the heavenly realm into this natural. Matthew 8:24. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he, Jesus, was asleep. You know you're tired if you can sleep on a ship in a storm, a relatively small ship. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Verse 26, and he said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. We know from another book that he said, peace, be still. He spoke what had to be to get the will of his Father done. Those disciples and Jesus had to get to the other side of that lake. And right in the middle of that lake, there arose a storm that was trying to oppose the will of God, that was trying to cause great destruction and death, even of their very lives. And these were men of the sea. These were experienced sailors. And so I'm sure they had seen many things. And they know how to handle storms. It's not like they were a bunch of kids out there on a boat not knowing what to do. They knew what to do in a storm. And I know they were doing everything they knew to do. And these were men of the sea, experienced. And they know what to do. But nothing they did in the natural was enough. And it looked like this was about to be the end. I'm sure as a very last resort, they woke him up. What did he do? He spoke to the storm. He spoke out loud to the storm and decreed what needed to be for the will of God to be accomplished. He said, peace, be still. And when he did, immediately, there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? He spoke to the storm out loud, his command and decree, and the winds and the sea obeyed him. Let me ask you, what storm has Satan stirred up in your life? What is it he's caused to come around you with such force and such ferocity that you wonder if you're going to make it through? And what are you doing about it? I'm sure the waves were breaking over into that ship, filling it with water. Listen, if I was in that boat, if all I had was a Dixie cup, I guarantee I'd be bailing with everything I had. I'd be slapping that water out of the boat, wouldn't you? But none of their natural experience was enough. None of their strength was enough. But God, he showed them what to do when it looked like it's the end. But you know it's not the will of God for it to be so. There's going to be times in your life where you're going to have to stand up and say no. I will not allow my children to be carried off into captivity. I will not allow cancer to live in my body. Poverty and lack, cease now in Jesus' name. What is it? Can't think of his name. He used to be a speaker that was pretty well known. Faith cometh. Money cometh. Money cometh to me now in Jesus' name. Leroy Thompson, thank you. Money cometh. What are you doing? You're calling in that which you need. Money cometh to me now in Jesus' name. Well, I'll tell you, when my daughter was little, she had no hair. So my husband appropriated Leroy's thing. He'd take her little baby hands and rub them on her little bald head, and he'd say, "Hair cometh now to destiny in Jesus' name." Hey, money or hair, it worked. But you have to speak. You have to say. And listen, I'm sure the very last thing those men wanted to do is stop bailing to speak. Sometimes we get so caught up in our own efforts to make it right, in our own efforts to fix it, in our own efforts to do for ourselves. Well, there's got to be something I can do, something I can sell, something I can say, something I can medically do. There's got to be something. And we get so caught up, so focused that we don't want to stop what we're doing to take authority. I want you to notice when Jesus woke up, he didn't grab a bucket. He stood in the ship and said what was going to happen. I'm not telling you not to do what you know to do. I am saying, speak, command, decree, say what God said about your situation every single time. Don't get so busy. Don't get so caught up in the natural that you fail to do it supernaturally. You do not have the strength. You don't always have the ability to bring yourself out, but he always does. He gave a command of faith. He said how things were going to be. And he did it out loud. And spoke not to the Father, but to the very molecules of the earth, which were opposing the will of God. And the waves and the sea obeyed him. Did the disciples speak out loud a command of faith and their words change things? We looked at that a few weeks ago. Clearly, they spoke. They spoke to sick people and said, "Be made well." They spoke to various things throughout their ministries. We looked at that in depth the other day. I'm not going to take the time to go do that, look at it again. But we clearly see those who were contemporaries of Jesus, you know, Peter, James, and John, and all them, they took up the mantle. They learned from Jesus, and they began to adopt his method of getting things done in the earth that he taught them while he was with them. But it didn't just stop with them. Paul didn't know Jesus. There's no indication they ever met in this life. He was born again after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Did he exercise authority? Did he say to sick people, "Be well"? And they were. He did. Why do we think it stopped? Why do we think it stopped? Because the devil told you it stopped. Because he don't want you out there doing this. As long as he can deceive you, as long as he can trick you, as long as he can shut you up by saying, you can't do that, who do you think you are? Then he runs roughshod, gets his business done. He wants to keep you from knowing who you are and what you have and what you're capable of. You are capable of plundering hell and populating heaven. You are capable of having all of your needs met according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus and having more than enough on top to sow into every good cause. You are capable of it because he said you were. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it feels like. It doesn't matter if you speak and nothing changes. You hold fast. Your command of faith is going to the root of the problem and working so long as you don't give up on your faith. When I was teaching the children in children's church, you know, faith is kind of an abstract principle, and so I was looking for a way to teach them about how faith operates. And so, I got a rope and I tied it to a toy, and I said, you know, on the end of this rope is something that I want, and this rope is kind of like my faith. I said, you know, God has what you need. And so I tied what I wanted on the end of the rope, and I gave it to a kid, and he was, you know, quite a ways away from me. I said, every time you make a faith confession, every time you say what you really believe, it's like pulling on this rope. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. And I pulled the rope, and it came closer. I said, is it here? Did it happen in one pull? They said, no. I said, then what do? You keep pulling. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. The power of God is working in me now, affecting a healing and a cure. Every time you pull on that rope, what you need gets closer to you. But I told him, I said, the problem is you don't know how long the rope is. Some ropes are short. One pull. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Woo! Here it is. Woo! I said, now what happens is, though, if you give up, it's like letting go of the rope. You can go back and pick it up, but who knows how far away you're going to pick the rope up. Do you understand? All that progress you made before could have been eradicated when you gave up. What is it Pastor Hagin says? I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. It's not done until I say it's done. He always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. He just needs you to cooperate with that and not give up. Not get discouraged. Not let go of what he's promised you. I want to look back at our keynote scripture tonight, Mark 11:22. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever. Are you a whosoever? Glory to God. Whosoever except those in the 21st century. Is that what he said? Whosoever. You're a whosoever. I'm a whosoever. Whosoever means whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Shall is the strongest word in the English language. It didn't say he might have it. He might get it, but you just never know. No, it says he if you say unto, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but he shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. People will argue about these things. Oh, I don't believe that. Y'all are just that name it, claim it bunch. But how many of you know it's not us they're disagreeing with? Didn't say it right there. They're disagreeing with God. They're arguing with God. I didn't say that. God said it. We saw it work for Father God. We saw it work for Jesus. We saw it work for the disciples both before and after his death. So why would we think that things like that have changed now? He's showing us how the kingdom operates even in our day. They haven't changed. We just think we're so smart, so sophisticated, that we don't need his word. We don't need to do things God's way to get our needs met. I can meet my own needs. You're willing to work hard? You can accomplish anything. What do I need to do it God's way for? Ladies and gentlemen, if that is the attitude that we as a society have adopted, then we're setting ourselves up for a great fall. I've literally heard ministers say, I don't believe you can just believe in your heart and say something out of your mouth and it change anything. That makes me wonder if they're even born again. Because that's how salvation works. Romans 10:8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Where is it? In your mouth and in your heart. That, verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What? How many of you know that's how you got born again? When anyone gets born again, they had to come into the kingdom with a belief in their heart and a confession coming out of their mouth. And did that change anything when you did it? You bet your boots. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. When you believe what God said, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When you believe what he said about his Son dying on the cross for your sins, when you believe it and when you speak it out of your mouth, everything changed. If it's how you got into the kingdom, why do we think it suddenly changed once we're in? It didn't change. Go back to Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We could just as easily say, for with the heart man believeth unto health. And with the mouth confession is made unto wholeness in your body. We could just as easily say, for with the heart man believeth unto prosperity. And with the mouth confession is made unto having all my needs met and more than enough to share. It's the same. It works the same. But people will argue about it. Born again people who had to believe and speak to get salvation will argue that it works. Well, I don't do anything. Then you're not born again. If it can change you, you old knucklehead, from being a dirty, rotten, rank sinner, not caring about God, dead on the inside. If he can raise you to newness of life in an instant, what is impossible for him? Is your bills any big thing? No, because the greatest miracle that ever was when you said, I believe and I receive, and when you really did believe and you partook of that. The greatest miracle of all is that he changed us forever, had brought us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, changed everything about us. All things are become new. All things. Just because you believed. And you spoke. But you'll have ministers argue about it. If we got in this way, why do we think it's now changed? Galatians 3:3 in the King James. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? I know this scripture is talking about keeping the law versus living by faith. But I think it absolutely applies to us. And something I believe the Lord would say to many of us today. Are you serious? You think you can live your life and make it to heaven and live victoriously some other way than the way I taught you? Some other way than the way that brought you into the kingdom to begin with? We have to operate the principles of the kingdom to achieve the benefit. What do? We believe in our heart and we speak out of our mouth. If we're to live successfully on this earth in the victory that Jesus brought for us here, we will continue to operate in these principles. We speak out loud, declaring and decreeing into the very elements of the earth that which Father has decreed will be. And then it comes to pass. But not until. Listen, it's not going to get fixed until you open your mouth. Till you believe in your heart and you start speaking to it. Well, Pastor Rhonda, how long can this go on? Listen, it can go on. The question is, when are you finally going to stand up in the middle of your storm and say, I said in Jesus' name, cease. Be still. When are you going to start talking to your empty checkbook? When are you going to take authority over those demons who are working on your children, blinding their minds, trying to confuse them, trying to draw them off into darkness? When are you going to start speaking what he said is true of your health? I started preventively doing some things. I'm not sick. I started preventively doing some things. Cancer can't live in my body. I am a daughter of the Most High God. The very life of God lives on the inside of me. I deny cancer any opportunity and any right to exist in my body in any form, any time. I say no. I'll never die of a heart attack. I'll never die of a stroke. The blood of Jesus Christ quickens my mortal flesh. Every day my flesh is renewed by the Spirit of God which lives on the inside of me. My strength is renewed like the eagles. Open your mouth. Say. I've been redeemed from my children being carried off. I've been on that one all summer. And it ain't because of my child. Although it's true of her. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying that because Destiny's doing something. She ain't doing nothing. She's fine, as far as I know. And I believe I know all things by the Spirit of God, which resides on the inside of me. Somebody told her, they'll know. But listen. Work those scriptures. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law, Galatians says. One of the curses of the law is watching my children be carried off into captivity. I thank you, Father, you said if I would train up a child in the way they should go, when they're old, they'll not depart from it. And I don't know what it looks like right this second. I don't care what it looks like. I believe you. Thank you for laborers across their path. I thank you they have eyes to see and ears that hear and hearts that truly understand. Philippians 1:9 out of the Amplified. And this I pray. You can personalize the scriptures and pray them over whoever it is around you that's lost. This I pray, that their love may abound yet more and more and extend to its fullest development in knowledge and all keen insight. Father, that your love may display itself in greater depth of acquaintance and more comprehensive discernment. Verse 10. Surely this person that I'm concerned about will surely learn to sense what is vital and approve and prize what is excellent and of real value, recognizing the highest and the best, and distinguishing the moral differences. I had to say to somebody recently, society may not think it's a big deal anymore, but you cannot do away with the death. The wages of sin is death. I don't care if it is okay with society. We had a psychologist a few years back try to argue that pedophiles shouldn't be made to feel guilty for molesting children because guilt is a horrible thing. And are you kidding me? Mercifully, there was an outcry. But just because people think something is okay doesn't mean it's okay. And it doesn't do away with the death. But you can pray that they would surely learn to sense what is vital and approve and prize what is excellent and of real value, recognizing the highest and the best and distinguishing the moral differences, that they may be untainted and pure, unerring and blameless, so that with hearts sincere and certain and unsullied, they may approach the day of Christ, not stumbling nor causing others to stumble. Listen, if you've got people in your life who aren't living right, who aren't doing right, who aren't being right, you need to wage warfare with the Word of God. Pray that over them. Philippians 1, 9 through even 11 in the Amplified. I'm not going to take time to go on. But fight for them. Don't just sit there and cry and mourn and wish it wasn't happening and saying, isn't it terrible? And gosh, you know, no, you do know what to do. I'm telling you what to do. Draw the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and go to war. Faith speaks out loud. Faith speaks. Faith speaks, and it is so. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you for the example that you set before us when you stood before the darkness and the confusion, the great nothingness that was. You said what you wanted to be, and it was. I thank you for showing us through the life of your Son, through the lives of the disciples that are recorded in Scripture, showing us how the kingdom of God operates so that we too can operate it and live victoriously down here. Father, I call every need of every person under the sound of my voice. I call their needs met according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I thank you that they always have enough to give in to every good cause. I thank you, Father, that by the stripes of Jesus, they have been healed. And if they were healed, then they are healed. And I thank you for it. Father, help us. Help us to understand that when we speak the word in faith, it's not for your benefit. It's not for anybody else's benefit, Father, but we're speaking spirits. We're speaking into creation. We're speaking into existence, something that doesn't exist to this point. You, sir, put some of your creative ability on the inside of us when you created us in your likeness and in your image. We are indeed speaking spirits like our Father before us. Speaking spirits with authority and dominion in the earth, enforcing the will of our Father, and stopping hell wherever it would try to encroach. Into the lives of your children. And so, Father, we'll not be afraid to speak. Because we are born again. We know it works. Because we are born again, we know it works. Believing and saying, it's powerful. Changed our hard hearts, Father, and made us new on the inside. Recreated us. Believing and saying is powerful. Remind us, Holy One, when life happens. Remind us when the storm is raging and we're running around doing everything we know to do. Stop us and remind us to take authority, to speak in your name where hell is encroaching in our lives, and stop it. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now listen, I want you to keep your head bowed and your eyes closed for just a second. Maybe you've never prayed that prayer. Maybe you've never believed in your heart and confessed out of your mouth to get born again. But listen, he's got a new start for you tonight. He wants to fix your life. He wants to change everything about your life. He wants to take you in his arms and love away your hurt and love away your pain like any good father would. But you have to receive him. You have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You have to believe that he came to the earth to die on the cross for your sins. You have to believe that he was raised from the dead and is now seated at the right hand of God. You have to receive after you believed. You have to believe those things, and then you have to believe it's for you and receive it. But if you can do that, he'll change everything about your life. He said, all things have become new. Let him give you a new start tonight. So, church, I want us to all pray together. Let's help them. Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came to the earth, that he took on flesh, that he died on the cross to pay for my sins. I believe that he was raised from the dead and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And Jesus, I believe and I receive. I receive you as my Savior. I make you the Lord of my life. And I thank you for coming into my heart and making all things new. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or you came back to the Father tonight, the light is on in the prayer room back there. There'll be somebody back there to give you some materials and pray for you. If you'd please just stop back there and let them know what you did. You're going to want the materials they have for you. And they want to pray with you and make sure you got everything you needed tonight. So if you would go and do that, I'd appreciate it. Otherwise, we'll see you Sunday and you're dismissed.